Exercise 27. Talk 1. Listen to part of a discussion in an education class.
I'm sorry. I just don't agree with you at all.
Look, take the example of an international student applying for university admission. If the student has a 250 on the TOEFL or an 80 on the Michigan test, most admissions officers will accept the applicant. The student with a 247 or 79 won't be considered. The officer won't even look at transcripts.
Right. But I think that proves my point, not yours.
How?
Well, it's the admissions officer who decides how to use the test. The TOEFL and the Michigan are good English proficiency tests. But that's all they are. And English proficiency is necessary for success in an American university. But so are several other factors, including good academic preparation.
Good academic preparation is more important.
Maybe. I don't really know. But what I'm trying to explain to you is that admissions officers should use the proficiency test as one of many considerations. And as such, they really shouldn't insist on a rigid cutoff score like 250 or 80.
Isn't this the basic disagreement? That Paul thinks the tests are bad in themselves, and Sally believes that the tests are good, but that many people don't use them for their intended purpose.
I don't agree with having the tests, Professor Ayers, and that's my position.
But Paul, what would you do to evaluate the English proficiency of a student 10,000 miles away without a standardized test?
I admit, that's a big problem.
It sure is.
Okay, class. For Wednesday, let's consider the problem of evaluation without standardized tests like the TOEFL, the SAT, GMAT, and GRE. Paul says that there ought to be an alternative. Sally doesn't seem to believe that there is an appropriate alternative. Please bring in your ideas and suggestions, and we'll discuss them.
Number one, what do the speakers mainly discuss? Two, what is Paul's opinion about the TOEFL and the Michigan test? Three, what does Sally say about the admissions officers? Four, how does the professor handle the disagreement? Five, where did this discussion most probably take place? Talk two. Listen to part of a discussion in a linguistics class.
Since so many of you have asked me about how to learn a language, I thought it might be useful to take some class time today to discuss it. Betty, you speak several languages, don't you?
Yes, I speak Spanish and French.
And what helped you most in learning those languages?
What helped me most? Well, I studied both languages in high school, and I'm still studying Spanish here at the university. But I think that travel has probably been the most help to me. You see, I've been lucky in that I've lived in Europe. And believe me, I didn't speak very well before I moved there.
You're right, Betty. After studying a language, practice is very useful. When you live in a country where the language is spoken, it's ideal. But you know, sometimes it's difficult to make friends in a new place, even when the people are very friendly.
Yes, I know what you mean, especially if you don't speak the language too well. I had some problems when I first moved to Europe.
And, of course, some people are shy.
That's true.
Professor Baker, whether or not I'm living in a country where the language is spoken, I always go to movies, and whenever I can, I watch TV or listen to the radio in the language I'm trying to learn.
Me too. And reading is another good way to learn. Books are good, but I think that newspapers and magazines are even better.
Probably the best way to learn is to combine all of these ideas. Traveling, talking with people, going to movies, watching TV, listening to the radio, and reading books, newspapers, and magazines. What do you think?
I agree with that, Professor Baker.
So do I, but I don't believe that it's possible to take advantage of practice opportunities without some knowledge of the language first.
Sure. First, it's a good idea to study grammar, vocabulary,
and listening, perhaps even reading.
Then practice is very, very helpful.
Number one, what do the speakers mainly discuss? Two, why does Professor Baker begin the discussion by calling on Betty? Three, what helped Betty most in learning Spanish? Four, what is Professor Baker's opinion? Five, how can we best describe Professor Baker?